Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Blue Collar BS podcast, where we support blue collar business owners like you build a business that'll thrive for decades by turning that blue collar BS into some blue collar business solutions.
So in this episode, you're going to learn that apprenticeship programs between industries and schools work, and why it's important to never say never, and how necessity creates actions. And you're also going to learn how one idea can have a global impact.
Our guest today is Dave Hottag, owner of Edgerton Gear, who said he'd never come back to Wisconsin and did not want to continue his education. We thank him for coming back and his continued learning. We hope you enjoy this show.
How are you doing, my friend?
I am Mr. Fantastic today, Mr. Stephen Doyle.
Mr. Fantastic, holy crap, what's going on?
Just a lot of goodness going on in the world today. Just a lot of good things happening, and there's not enough of it being talked about. And so I'm pretty excited about what's all going on in life today, and I'm happy. I'm glad to be here today.
That's awesome. That's great from our unapologetic boomer. I'm just so happy for you.
Wow. Says the millennial wannabe. Anyhow, we digress.
Hey. So now that we got those pleasantries out of the way, who do we have on the show today, Brad?
Hi. So ironically, we came across this guest through some mutual connections and some conversations. Dave Hottag, the owner of Edgerton Gear here in Wisconsin, has a program, a business, a background, all sorts of exciting things that I can't wait to have him share with our audience, how he has taken a potential negative situation and made a huge positive out of it. So, Dave, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. I'd love to hear you how you interact.
Well, you know, we're just kind of like brothers from another mother and from different generations. We're good.
Yeah, great.
We're good. So, Dave, before we get started, the first question we ask all of our guests is, which generation do you best fit in with?
I guess I'm on the tail end of the old fart generation of the boomer. I just turned 60 this year.
You are on that tail end.
Yeah.
Yep.
But you don't seem very unapologetic either, so that's okay.
My gosh, no, I think it's a great generation.
Absolutely. Well, it's not quite the greatest. It's a great generation, not the greatest generation, just a great generation.
Well, I love that I turned 60 this year because now I have an excuse for everything.
Absolutely.
Right? You know, right?
Absolutely. Well,
I don't remember that. I don't remember saying that.
That's right.
Oh, my back hurts. Can you go lift that for me?
Yeah, that's right. You got it, man. Brad, yeah.
That's awesome. So tell us a little bit about the program. So as Brett, we talked, did a little pregame, pre-show. Tell us a little bit about your journey before we get into something, you know, what you actually did in the industry. So tell us a little bit about your journey.
So I grew up in the family business. My folks started Edgerton Gear in 1962. My mom was pregnant with me. So I was running a power hacksaw by the time I was five.
Was awesome.
Journeyman machinist. Didn't break any child labor laws at all back then. And became a journeyman machinist by the time I was 22. And and then I did that cardinal mistake of swearing I'd never do something. And I ran away from home, moved to California for 8 years, and swore I'd never come back to the family
Uh-oh.
Business. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
I don't know if anybody else. Yeah. You ever had that experience? Came back. The shop was kind of a mess. My quarter barrel beer in the lunchroom. That was the old time where businesses could do that. And it was actually a pretty dark place, and I really didn't want to be here, but my dad was having some health issues, and I said, I'll come back, help manage the shop for a couple of years, five at the most, and then they could
31 years
it.
Later.
31 years later, exactly. I'm still here. Why am I still here? And it was a tough transition. It really was. I did my master's on family systems in a blue collar business. and try and understand how family and business and all that interacts with each other. And yeah, 31 years later, and I think it was probably about 15 years ago, we've been struggling with the workforce issue for a long time. I remember I had my apprenticeship teacher, my gosh, back in 1982, told me that journeyman machinists of the future are going to be a rare breed. And he was right on. Yep. Mm-hmm. And so about 15 years ago, I said, man, what are we going to do about this? And went to our local high school. They were helping me. They asked me to help renovate their tech ed department, which a lot of the equipment was the same stuff I ran back in the late 70s and 80s, mothballed, shoved in the corner. And we go, what do we do with all this crap? And I said, oh my gosh, this is great stuff. So it was about that time I I actually went back to grad school. If you knew me, I had a hard time finishing high school. So when people find out I have these degrees, it's laughable because I went to my family or our class reunion 2 years ago and I was like voted least likely to do anything. So the fact that I'm
see, you proved them wrong again. Look at all these things you're proving people wrong on. I'm never going to go back home. You're the least likely opportunity and you're proving all these people wrong over and over and over again.
I know it. I'm the classic Wisconsin hick that everybody overlooks and takes for granted, which is why I love kids, which I love the at-risk kids because I think they're awesome.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so they have that's a different motivation.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you got there, you took the family business, you learned about the dynamics, you kept Christmas and Easter and Thanksgiving dinner peaceful.
No, that's a whole other story, but no.
Okay. Well, for the storytelling, let's not get facts in the way of, okay?
Yeah, don't let those facts get in the way of any details. That's all right.
Well, family business is messy. Anybody that's in family business, they know what I'm talking about. But anyway, continue on, please.
Yes. So anyhow, all right. Maybe a couple Christmases weren't so good, but at the end of the day, you found that you had this issue within your employee resource situation. The high school reached out. What did you do to go solve your employee problem for Edgerton Gear? What actions did you take to be proactive versus just complaining that we can't find good people? Oh, these young people don't want to work today. They suck, which is the furthest thing from the truth. But go ahead, tell your story. I'm looking forward to it.
So I got invited by one of my mentors to go back to grad school and get a doctorate, which is hilarious. And I thought, well, anything that I do, I'm an apprentice. So anything that I learn has to have application. So I spent a couple of years studying this exact issue. And a lot of these kids, which I call the lost shop kids, tech ed kids, were down at the end of long haul. We don't do well in most of the classes, but we're brilliant working with our hands. And I studying the current educational model, it all caters to those academic kids, the kids that love theory. And so realizing that, understanding educational theory, I ended up coming up with a program called Craftsman with Character that is accepted with the high schools right now. It's a public semester-long course that 4 days a week we get the kids job shadowing in different work environments. And one day a week I get them in a classroom and we work on soft skills, character development, worldview, who are you, why are you here, and connecting character qualities with actually mentors and job shadowing. So in the classroom, we talk about all this stuff, but then the kids go out on the shop floor and they go, oh, that's why I have to be paying attention to detail and be a team player and be humble and all of those things that often don't get talked about in high school anymore. So I started that 11 years ago. Actually, it was 11 years ago this summer. We ran our pilot course and went, oh my gosh, we're hitting on something powerful because there's a lot of amazing kids out there that are totally overlooked, taken for granted. And it's exploded. Our average age in our shop right now is 28.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And we've got phenomenal young leaders who were D students flunking out in high school who are just amazing, amazing young men.
That is spectacular. Wow. So, all right, here's for the analytical folks that are out there listening. So you said average age is 28. How many employees are there on your floor?
40.
Okay. So it's not just scaled one way or the other. It's an average. And so that means you should have a pretty good mix of talent across the board to create a very good life cycle for you and a very sustainable long-term business model for whatever happens moving forward. So congratulations to you, Dave, for taking that initiative. That's spectacular.
Well, it's phenomenal that with these kids, like you guys know, that are totally overlooked. And the challenge was getting into the high school. And we have a great school system here in Edgerton where the principal and the superintendent, you know, I went to him and said, hey, I got an idea. And they said, okay, give it a shot. And again, it's these kids who they didn't know what to do with a lot of these kids. They said, we're out of tools. And, you know, I jokingly call the kids when I'd run a class, you guys are the worst of the worst, right? Everybody thinks you're a bunch of losers. You don't fit in well and on like, yeah. And I said, but you know what? You guys are some of the smartest kids on the planet, because how many of your classmates can tear apart a diesel engine or do the stuff that you guys can do working with your hands? And we just keep discovering that these kids, low self-esteem often, coming from broken homes, they don't get the support they need. And maybe the first time in their life, somebody takes an interest in them and they just blossom. And they are, right. I just love these kids. Absolutely love them. And it's funny, the schools, we've had kids through our course and physically they changed. You know, we had kids that come in with, you know, their hoodie on, their pants need to be pulled up, hair over their face. And they're like, one kid looked like a sheepdog and he couldn't interact. And within 8 weeks, and the course is 16 weeks long, right? Because you can't change a kid or change habits just overnight. But he cleaned himself up, and even the school counselor's like, what happened? Who is this kid? And it's just a matter. And I've had kids tell me that this is the first time in my life somebody asked me what I thought or actually cared, which is heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. And I'm convinced there's thousands of kids out there that
there are
that just need that mm-hmm. opportunity.
All right. So and where my passion came from for this topic and bringing Gen Z into the workforce and letting them know is through working through the FIRST Robotics program. Because we'd have all the kids that want that, you know, yes, you still have your engineers and you still have your STEM type folks. But we were an organization that at Hamilton, we manufactured parts. We had a mentor that taught this kid. So one of our students, he was taught how to aluminum weld as a freshman. His sophomore year is over the summer. He's doing his aluminum welding. He ran some test beads on some 316s aluminum and he was going to go to break it. I said, don't break that. Do not break that in half. You're going to keep that. And you're going to frame that. And when you want to go work at somebody and you go knock on their door and you're 17 years old and say, hey, I want a job as a welder, they're not going to give you the time of day. And you're going to put that on the desk. And you're going to say, this is what I can do. And you're going to get awesome. The conversation.
Yep.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because no 17-year-old kid welding. No, that can't happen. It can happen. And it does happen. And it happens more often than anybody thinks.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Absolutely right. Over and over and over. So our program, we put them through a 16-week course, 4 days a week job shadowing for an hour and a half in our classroom. And then what we do, if they want to continue with us, and now we've expanded the course, we'll have 10 kids in a class, but now we include other businesses. So the kids not only get to job shadow our shop, but four or five other businesses in the community for 2 weeks at a time. And so over a 16-week period, you know, they're spending 3-4 weeks in all these businesses. But if we like them and they like us, we'll have them come through a summer internship, kind of like boot camp. And if they come through that right. well and we're all getting along, then we turn them into youth apprentices. And before we did this, our youth apprenticeship success rate was maybe 50-50, which probably is, you know, probably average for a lot of schools. But since we implemented this course, we've graduated 100% of our youth apprentices. Because they make those connections.
Wow. I just want to reach out and give you a big old hug there, Dave.
Wow.
This is music to my ears. So you reached out to the schools to solve the problem or the schools reached out? How you went to them to say, hey, you have an idea?
I went to them. And now we've actually started a foundation called craftsmanwithcharacter.org. And we're expanding it, you know, through different counties. We just ran a course down at the Frito-Lay plant in Beloit, Wisconsin, this last fall. So Frito-Lay, Scott Forge, CCI, which is a commercial.
Scott Forge, another great organization to my ears. Mm-hmm. I love those guys.
Yep.
So we all partnered together. And the challenge was, can we do a course in somewhere else besides little white Edgerton? I mean, Edgerton's a little rural area. Well, Beloit's more of a tougher neighborhood and multi-ethnic and different issues. And it was an absolute home run. Frito-Lay wants to put it in all their plants across the country. I was down at Scott Forge last week. They want to put another class down in Spring Grove in McHenry School District in Illinois. And everybody's realizing, man, this is a huge problem, but it's solvable. because there's just these phenomenal kids. So basically our course is taking old people and hooking them up with young people and just allowing the relationships mm-hmm. develop. And there we go.
I love the fact that you've got this thing expanding and moving forward and creating yeah. opportunity.
Well, the crazy part that just has happened, this got the attention of the U.S. Navy about 4 months ago. And I don't know if y'all realize, I didn't know this, but our U.S. in submarine industrial base is really struggling. And the Navy, mm-hmm. the Navy's saying that they're not getting their submarines fast enough. So they put a workforce together to go out and figure out how come we're not getting our subs on time. And as you guys can guess, it's workforce issues. They can't find out people weird. Working. Weird, huh?
Oh, yeah. We're not getting our subs out on time, and it's over budget. Oh, hard to believe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So mm-hmm. Scott Forge, John Kane on it, Scott Forge invited me into a meeting with this woman from the Navy. And we sat there and we were talking, and I explained the course to her. And she said, hold it. I have one question. And I said, yeah. And she goes, how do we take this nationally? I'm like, huh? What do you mean? So fast forward 2 or 3 months, and we have just been awarded a 3-year contract with the Navy, a huge contract to take it national. And they literally want it everywhere in the country that we can. So,
wow.
Yeah. So it's kind of turned our world upside down.
So for our tens of listeners out there that are excited to listen to you right now,
there's a few more than that.
Okay. that are super excited to hear this, and if they want to participate or be involved, or they have resources, or they might be a school community, they might be something along those lines where there's some other things. Where, how do we, right? You may be more inundated with people than you can provide resources, but how do they get to you to say, hey, we want to be part of this Craftsman program, because you're making it easy for everybody because it's already kind of done. We don't have to reinvent the wheel.
We mm-hmm. have the curriculum. We have an implementation process. You can go to our website, craftsmanwithcharacter.org. We just held a mini conference in Milwaukee 3 weeks ago. We're trying to introduce it to the Milwaukee area. So we've got, my gosh, 6 or 7 school districts already over there that are trying to figure this out. The key is to have a businesses and you really need a champion business in a community who says, yeah, I want to do this. And they can rally other businesses together. We've tried doing it the other way. Go to the school first. That's more difficult because the schools don't believe really that the businesses really want to help and be committed to kids. And the businesses often think that the schools are too siloed. They don't care. So the biggest challenge is in Beloit, for instance, Frito-Lay and Scott Forge partnered together. They went to Beloit Memorial High School, and they made it happen within 5 months. Janesville, Wisconsin's doing it. In Milwaukee, we've got those businesses that just really need to come on board. So my advice is, if you're a business, get a couple other businesses together, storm your school, and say, hey, this program's already vetted. It's already done. We've got the support. We're putting together a team of facilitators right now that can help your community put it together. Starting September, I'll have quite a staff that can start doing this. Right now, there's just a couple of us because this all just happened. So I'm a little stressed and overwhelmed at the moment.
Right?
But it's all coming together. And I am really convinced that it's going to happen because it's too big of a problem and too serious of an issue that we can't ignore. And a lot of businesses are their future at stake. And, you know, it's funny when I talk to a lot of business folks and we start explaining like what you guys are doing with kids, everybody's saying, you know, this could help transform our country if we understand how awesome these kids are and just get them plugged in. Right. So,
yep.
Give them a path. Show them the path. The Gen Z kids, right? They've been scheduled. Their lives have been scheduled since they were 5 years old. And the Gen Alpha kids behind them, that's a whole nother animal. Nobody even wants to talk about those 12-year-old and younger kids. They're not even being looked at right now or even thought about. And by the time industry decides to do something, it may be too late. So you are your timing of everything has been, even though it's been a journey, 11, 12, 13-year journey to get to this point, you know, the world works in mysterious ways, right? Connect all the dots, do all those things. And
well, I said, I swore I'd never come back, and I never imagined, you know, and I'm also a man of faith, and I just believe everything's happening for a reason. And one of my good friends said, this is like an overnight success that took 60 years in to develop. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. But I think it's the right time. And it's when my wife and I first got married, I always wanted to have a boys' home. We became foster parents. And because I, like I said, I was one of those kids that struggled in high school that I developed late. I was 5'2", 105 pounds as a junior, you know, so there's a lot of us.
You were the volleyball.
And I tried out for football. That didn't go well. But yeah, there's just so many awesome kids that just need the chance. So I really appreciate what you guys are doing, trying to get the message out.
No, that is spectacular. Steve, you got to go. My head right now is just spinning with all sorts.
I know, my head's spinning. So it's like, wow, so many avenues to take.
Come on, Steve. So carry the weight here for a moment.
So yeah, let me tear into this. So let's peel back a little bit though, from when we're working with those, let's just call them, you know, the youth that needed some alternative method for learning.
Yep.
So what was the journey like talking to one, not just the students, but did you also interact with their parents to get them engaged?
Yeah. If you go on our website, we have a few testimonials because a lot of these parents, they're like, I don't know what to do with my son, you know, or my daughter. And they're flunking out of high school and we don't know what to do. The schools don't have an answer. And so when we talked about, you know, partnering them with mentors in our shop. And this is the real magical part. Everybody thinks, oh, it's so hard to be a mentor. Well, we've got companies full of potential mentors, right? And it's transformed our company because I got a shop full of guys like me that were kind of messed up and, you know, as kids. And a lot of them were actually really messed up. And one of them, my best guys, he was labeled mentally retarded in elementary school because he thought different than everybody else. He's even the most brilliant men I've ever met, right? And so when these kids see themselves in these older guys, right, they go, wow, that gives me hope because you were me, you know, 30, 20, 30, 40 years ago. Right. And the parents are just beside themselves because too often they've tried everything except something like this. And there's a Boys and Girls Club and all those great programs out there, but job mentoring, you know, in the workplace is something completely different. It's so relevant and practical that it's really, like Brad, you just said, it's given them a path that they never thought. I have one young Hispanic kid that took our course last year, and at the end of it, he goes, you know, and he's second generation Mexico, and he said, you know, this gives my family of future generations a path in the skilled trades that I never thought we'd have. As an 18-year-old, he's saying that, right? And so we went to a graduation signing day ceremony at our tech school. His mom, dad, brother, and sister all came, and they're just blown away. Like, wow, our kids have a future. So parents are just beside themselves, appreciative.
Over that 11-year journey that you started this with and seeing the change potentially of parents, have the parents and have even the students that you're talking to in these schools, has their approach to working with their hands, have their attitude towards it, have you starting to see a change of it being more acceptable, or is it still the, oh, you're those kids, or is it becoming a little bit more streamlined or more acceptable?
In the last, I would say, last 3 years, especially, I was banging my head against the wall probably for the first 8, but the last 3 years, people are waking up. COVID did us a huge favor because it asked the question, what jobs are essential? And the whole world is waking up going, wow, we need toilet paper manufacturers. You know, there's some really critical stuff out there that if we don't have our manufacturers working, man, we're going to be, our trees are going to be leafless, right? But
it's winter up north here. There are no leaves.
So there's been a real shift, I think, with starting to happen with parents and especially with kids. And this last class, we had 12 kids. We already have 20 signed up for next year. And so the stigma is going away because these kids are starting to talk about what phenomenal careers and how much money they can make. And they're not going to graduate university with, you know, tons of debt, and they can start working right away. But the beauty that I like to see, and what I haven't brought up, and I know we're kind of short on time, is I make these kids memorize the Craftsman code. And again, it's on our website, but if you're a parent, you'll get a kick out of this. But I make our kids memorize the Craftsman Code, and number one, we make them stand up and recite it. I am not the center of the universe. And that's a wonderful thing to have a teenager say.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's not a smackdown. It's letting the kids understand that we stand on the shoulders of those who came before us, right? And then number two is just as fun, because then you get to make them say, I do not know everything nor nearly as much as I think I do. And we just hammer that.
Do you use that for some of the other folks in your shop too?
Oh, we use it all the time. All the time. But as you go down the list, you know, there's dignity and purpose in knowing my trade. Number four is a game changer when the kids get it, when it's simple. The world needs me, right? The world needs who I am and my gifts and talents. And number five is pay as reward for my efforts, but not my main motivation. And lastly, number six is every person has unique gifts and talents. And over the course of 16 weeks, when these kids start internalizing that, their whole worldview changes. I mean, one kid recently, he said, he says, you know what? I understand the why I need to have a good work ethic, why I need to be teachable, and why I need to be humble. And he said, all of my grades are going up in my other classes because now I'm understanding that it's way better to be good than bad. And bad, you know, being bad has consequences. Being good has consequences. And that's what gets us jazzed up, because we just see these kids transform. For the first time, maybe life makes sense to them.
That is awesome. We could go on for hours here, but we do want to respect your time on this Friday afternoon. So if people want to get in contact with you again, how do they find you through registering, you know, the website, the Craftsman, how, where, what's your preferred methodology?
Well, I'd say if they're really interested in the course, look up, you know, craftsmanwithcharacter.org. There's a contact form in there and a bunch of information. We've streamed down our website. We're actually making a new website, but there's a lot of good information on there right now. Edgerton Gear, you can also contact me through there if you really want to. But the Craftsman with Character site, there's a lot of information. Get yourself familiar with it. And then, please reach out, because especially in the Milwaukee area right now, we're looking for other businesses to get involved. We just got to get the word out. And Steve, I actually have a phenomenal contact in Detroit with Ford, and he's probably going to be one of our district regional directors at some point. He's a phenomenal guy that's really passionate about this too. So it's coming to Detroit. Just hold on.
Awesome. That is spectacular. That's fantastic. So before we sign off, I just have one quick question, Dave. I have a favor to ask. Could you go back to one of your recent grads that have come on to Edgerton Gear or gone to another place? Would you and them be willing to come back on the show to have them talk about their experience and what it's meant to them, so that others could hear about that? Would that be something that, because I think having our audience hear something from one of the participants would be stellar and amazing.
Yep. I've got a number of guys in mind. I'd have to see which one would like to come on. Also go on, I'm trying to think the website, but if you Google Forged, the Windrider Institute made a movie of a short 10-minute video about our guys, two of our young guys. So Windrider Institute, Forged, you'll see what we're talking about also.
Okay. Fantastic. Again, Dave, thank you so much for sharing and blessing us with your gift of not wanting to come back and never getting educated. So we are blessed to have you continue to outsmart the world and bring your talents to us all. And for that, we appreciate you very much, Dave. Thank you so much.
Well, I appreciate you guys. Thanks. And if I talk too much, I apologize, but I expected you guys to say a lot more.
Not about us. It's about you, Dave.
Not about us.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right.
Yeah. Thanks. Thank you.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue-collar businesses strong for generations to come.